happens with that from here on. But anyway, folks, look, yeah, I'm going to leave it there for now. Do stay safe through all this and pay attention. Realise that it all depends on our compliance. And if people can just stop complying, then we got this. We just have to be aware of that. So, yeah. But it's coming down to the wire, it really is. Like, people need to see what's going on and they need to prepare for it. Get out of the cities as much as you can. Cities are kill boxes. That's why they set them up the way they did, because they wanted people to move into cities because they're kill boxes. It's just a way of getting rid of people. There's no way for people to really survive in the city once they stop the supply chain, once they break it all down. There's no way to really survive. So these are very dangerous places to be, unless you really have something set up. I mean, there are people that know their way around a city, that know where they can get supplies and just know how to survive on the street. And you're really going to need those sorts of skills soon. And just be prepared for what's coming, folks. Voila. Yeah, just be prepared for what's coming. And pay attention. But thank you to all the people who sent me so many kind emails, so many kind words. Thank you to all the people who helped me out getting Omar out of Dubai. Things are looking really bad in Dubai and all of the Gulf states. And who knows, we may see an escalation whereby we see more attacks against Israel as well. And I know we'd all like to see that, but the problem is that they've already fanned out around the world. It doesn't really matter. I don't think Israel was ever meant to survive. Israel was just put there in order to destabilize the Middle East, to create this conflict. The main purpose being to drive migrants into the West, and this has already been achieved. And now Israel is going to all these countries, setting up its own little secluded enclave, so that's going to be the control area once it all turns to shit in all these countries and all the Muslims and the locals kill each other off and it all turns into complete lawlessness. Well, they're going to have their little enclave and their little police, and they're going to be able to come out and save the day for everybody. This is part of the plan, and you will do what you're told or you will be eliminated as a terrorist, because of course if you're standing against Israel, that means you and your entire family and everything that ever existed that belonged to you must be destroyed. That's the way they think. So pay attention, folks, pay attention. You know, the people need to stand up and stop this happening, and the best way to do it is to refuse to comply. Refuse to comply with any of the technology, and do not accept these people with small hats into your community. Tell them all to fuck off. And if the politicians don't accept that, then you need to replace your politicians. I mean, now's the time. If there was ever a time on earth that all of our governments need to be replaced, it's now, folks. The time is now. I firmly believe it can be done peacefully. I think there's enough people who feel the same way. There's lots of meetings going on in the forest, in Canada and in the United States, and I would suspect in Australia as well, where people are meeting. They're leaving their cell phones at home and they're going and meeting in person, and they are planning strategies by means of which they can reclaim their countries.
Hi there. Since the start of the guest worker migrations to Northern Europe around the 1960s, each time war broke loose anywhere in the world, we kept sending the refugees to Europe. But what if I told you these mass migrations were all planned? This displacement, replacement, and genetic erasure of European native populations has always been EU policy. What is now called a conspiracy theory, the so-called Kalergi plan to replace Europeans, was once the newest fashion among the European nobility of the 1920s. It was a plan popularized by the half-Austrian, half-Japanese nobleman called Richard von Kaldenhove Kalergi. Kalergi, for short, was the founder of the Pan-European Union, the predecessor to the EU, the man who contributed the blue background to the EU's present flag, and who handpicked the EU's present anthem, Beethoven's Ode to Joy. Son of a charming Japanese mother, Kalergi also first introduced the idea of a monetary union for Europe, and it was his idea to coin the minting of a European currency, now called the Euro. As a high-ranking member of the Freemasons, Kalergi had access to Europe's royal rich. It was Baron Louis de Rothschild who introduced Kalergi to Max Warburg, a Jewish banker who put in 60,000 Deutschmarks to fund the first steps of the Pan-European Union. The European Union basically is a Jewish-funded project. For 49 years, Kalergi then presided over the Union's Central Council, and in 1950, he received the first Charlemagne Award for his unifying efforts, a prize also awarded to Germany's Angela Merkel in 2008. Say what you want about me, but you cannot deny that Mr. von Kaldenhove Kalergi was extremely influential. This half-Japanese man was the founding father of the European Union, and now that his political and economic dreams have all been realized, perhaps we should be careful to dismiss his racial ideas as something controversial. Kalergi's racial ideas are being implemented, and have been for over a century, except we European common folk aren't supposed to know about it, because it might upset us. Kalergi, for example, wrote extensively about his friends in his 1925 book, Practical Idealism. On page 27 of the first edition, he wrote, "Insofar Europa is Christian, she is Jewish. Insofar Europa is moral, she is Jewish. Nearly the entire European ethic is rooted in Judaism. In the East, the Chinese people are the ethical par excellence. In the West, the Jewish people." On page 28, "The strength of the Jewish character combined with its mental clarity predestines the Jews to be the leaders of urban humanity." And on page 33, we get to read something we really weren't supposed to hear about. "The battle between capitalism and communism over the legacy of Europe's blood nobility is a battle between heathen and Christian minds. The generals of both parties," meaning capitalist and communist, "were recruited from Europe's race of spiritual leaders, Jewry." Mind you, these are quotes from his book. On page 50, Kalergi further stresses that Europe's old feudal nobility has indeed been replaced by this new urban nobility. And on page 51, he confirms that Judaism is the lap from which Europe's new spiritual nobility emerges. No wonder this book is out of print. You see, this book wasn't meant to be read by a commoner like me. It was written and intended for Europe's new nobility. By the way, I have a riddle for you. How is it that Kalergi could be so open about Jewish supremacy, writing before the Second World War, but after the war, all of a sudden, everything had to be done in secret? What Kalergi called the feudal or blood nobility, also called the sword nobility or the fighting nobility, were in fact the old Germanic, Celtic, and Slavic clans that used to control Northern Europe. But they, meaning our people, have been defeated by the new urban nobility, namely by playing both sides of the capitalist and communist movements. At least Kalergi thought so. Driven by fear, this European nobility embraced the Kalergi plan because it saw in the Soviet Union a grave threat. They believed, for example, far-seeing as they were, that European unification was going to be necessary to thwart a Russian invasion and Russia's subsequent world domination. Or perhaps both sides, Russia and Europe, were cleverly played again. Either way, nationalist tendencies within Europe came to be seen as a threat to European stability. It's the same story we keep hearing today. In principle, I do support some sort of banner for Europeans to unite themselves under, but it's not the European Union, this urban-centric, anti-rural dystopia that now threatens to erase native European stock for the sole reason that our urban elites are afraid that our suppressed fighting spirit might one day resurface to overthrow them. Again, I'm not making that up. Kalergi said so himself on page 54 of his book, namely that in a more peaceful Europe of the future, the nobility will have to be stripped of its warlike character and have it replaced with a priestly demeanor. A pacified and socialized West will no longer need rulers and masters, only leaders, educators, and examples. I'd add influencers to that list, since Instagram sexuals now seem to be telling us how to live nowadays. We old stock Europeans apparently have to be pacified by mass immigration, mass miscegenation, and mass media manipulation until the war strain has been bred out of us. Our complete and total domestication is the end goal. Again, it was Kalergi who said so on page 55. The races and the classes, as we know them today, will disappear. Kalergi thought the mixed race of the future was the highest possible ideal for Europeans, so that the Jewish element in this mixture could come to, and I quote, its fullest development, as though Jews were a sort of mental race that spreads through physical hosts. I quote again, the European man of the future will be of mixed race. Today's races and classes will disappear owing to the disappearing of nations, time, and prejudice. The Eurasian Negroid race of the future, similar in its outward appearance to the ancient Egyptians, will replace the diversity of peoples with a diversity of individuals. A diversity of individuals? Ah, now you know why Jordan Peterson, the psychologist, is pushing radical individualism so hard. He doesn't want men of old European stock to unite as feudal clans to fight their urban oppressors. You can see my other video about that, titled Family First. The genetic erasure of Europe's natives then is the European Union's endgame, and has been from day one. No wonder big tech and big media are pushing the LGBT agenda so hard on white men, while simultaneously promoting mixed-race relationships for white women. Armies of single immigrant males are supposed to fertilize Europa with their backward ways, and our urban elites seem to think they'll be able to educate the mongrels that come from such an act of genocide. I think they may be suffering from a little hubris there. It is the white man, after all, who represents the potential last line of defense against the genocide of his people. And that is why I made this video, because I'm sick and tired of these disgusting urban animals in charge of the West nowadays, who think they have become my new nobility. They have not. It is time for us men of the West who prefer to live and die by the sword, to start doing something about this urban cancer consuming the earth. Firstly, by spreading the word. And secondly, by rallying men of European stock into becoming our so-called elite's worst fucking nightmare.
And I think this is happening all over. And it's high time, folks. So yeah, get involved. Pay attention, get involved. And if you see these sorts of movements springing up, do support them, because we're in a time of clear and present danger, folks, and this system needs to be stopped, and so do those people who are running us into the ground. All the stuff that they've planned to do to genocide the people of Europe, they're doing it, and this time we stopped it because we are the only ones who can. But anyway, folks, I'll leave it there for now. Next time I bring you a report, it'll probably be like a week or 10 days from now, and I will be in probably Croatia next time you see or hear me. And for those who are coming to Liverpool, I look forward to seeing you there. And please take care until then, folks. In Lakesh.
And it's not as if we didn't know how our gallant Soviet ally would behave before we began our effort to destroy Hitler and his forces. Our government knew what the communists had done in Ukraine. Our government knew about the mass arrests and executions in the Soviet Union. And before we crossed the English Channel to invade Europe, we knew about the mass executions of Polish officers by the Reds at Katyn and elsewhere. And yet, we allied ourselves with the mass murderers. We helped the mass murderers and mass rapists murder and rape millions of more Europeans. And so the claim that we were going to war to fight evil is simply a lie. The Second World War was not a good war. It was not a moral war. It was the most atrocious war of modern times. And we were on the side of those committing nearly all of the atrocities during that war. We were deliberately on the side of evil. And there is just one reason that we fought on the side of evil. It was because that was the Jewish side. In the years before the war, Hitler wasn't rounding up people by the thousands and shooting them the way the communists were. Hitler wasn't shooting anybody. His SS troops weren't raping or terrorizing anyone either. Hitler was doing one thing which resulted in a huge, lying, hate propaganda effort against him from Hollywood. That one thing was Hitler's campaign to break the grip of the Jews on Germany. In Germany, Hitler took the news and entertainment media away from the Jews. He kicked them out of the legal profession, which they had monopolized. He kicked them out of the teaching profession, where they had been pumping their ideas into the heads of German children. And Hitler did all of this peacefully, non-violently. He didn't round up Jews and shoot them. He simply made it illegal for them to own German newspapers and German radio stations. He made it illegal for them to practice law or to teach in German schools. And so the Jews were leaving Germany. Between 1933 and 1939, two-thirds of the Jews in Germany immigrated. At the same time, the Jewish commissars in the Soviet Union were butchering millions of people. But the hate propaganda coming out of Hollywood was entirely anti-German, not anti-Soviet. The Jews' only concern was the welfare of their fellow Jews. They didn't care how many Russians or Ukrainians were murdered, but they screeched at the top of their lungs when Hitler took the German media away from them. And they lied to the American people about what was happening in Europe. They lied in order to make us hate the Germans the way they did. When a Jew assassinated a German diplomat in Paris in 1938, and the German people reacted by smashing up Jewish department stores and synagogues in several German cities, the Jewish news media in the United States reported the incident as if Jews were being massacred wholesale in Germany. That was the famous Crystal Night, which the Jews still continue to remind us of every year in order to milk a little more sympathy from us. The picture of Germany painted by Jewish hate propaganda in the United States during the years preceding the Second World War was a complete distortion of reality. Americans were told that Germans lived in constant fear of the Gestapo and the SS, that Hitler was a madman who terrorized the German people and who fell to the floor and chewed the edge of his carpet when he became angry. Americans were told that Germany was a land of concentration camps and barbed wire and police dogs. Our invasion of Germany was to be a liberation of the German people from the tyrannical rule of Hitler and the SS. That's actually the word the Jewish propagandists used to describe the American and Soviet terror bombing, rape, and dismemberment of Germany. Liberation. The American and Soviet invaders were to be the liberators. And so the image of Germany most Americans had was the Jewish image of a land of terror and fear and brutality and repression, controlled by Hitler's SS automatons, a land which needed to be liberated and which was a deadly menace to America. The hate propagandists of Hollywood lied us into the most murderous and destructive war of all time solely because they hated the Germans and they wanted us to destroy the Germans for them. And they have maintained their pre-war lies, even to this day. They're portrayal of Hitler as a crazed carpet chewer and the SS as a gang of sadistic thugs. And they have added to this their post-war hate propaganda of gas chambers and of lampshades and soap supposedly made from the bodies of murdered Jews. Most Americans still believe that their fathers or grandfathers liberated Germany and saved the world. They still believe that the Second World War was a necessary war and a good war. And the reason they believe it is that they have seen hundreds of Hollywood films and television shows which have repeated these same lies to them over and over and over again. And no public figure has ever had the courage or honesty to contradict them. We're still hearing the same lies in films like Steven Spielberg's Saving Private Ryan and in the reviews of that film in the controlled media. Americans as liberators. The fact is that Hollywood's lies about Germany led to millions of white Americans and Europeans being slaughtered solely for the sake of punishing the Germans for throwing the Jews out of Germany. And we are put at a great disadvantage even today by those same lies, because they prevent so many of us from examining the past honestly. And if we cannot understand what happened in the past, we are much less likely to choose a wise course into the future.